The Good News Broadcasting Association presents Back to the Bible. Stay tuned as we try to make the Bible a living book and Christ a living reality for your life. You'll hear a Bible message by Theodore Epp, the director of this ministry, and some good music.
I love to tell the story. Twill be my theme in glory.
Tell it on the mountains. That's a way to open Back to the Bible. I'm Theodore Epp, your friend. Yes, this is Christmas season again, and we bring you some of those fine numbers to stir up our hearts to remember the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are not so naive that we do not know that Christmas Day, the 25th of December, was not necessarily the day that Jesus was born. In fact, quite a bit of evidence points that it was not. But it's fine to have a day to remember it as far as Christians are concerned. I don't care for the commercialism. In fact, I think it's a lot of sin there. But I didn't want to get off on that. I have something else I want to tell you. Mr. Morrow has a way of digging into the scriptures and telling us some things, and especially one day in chapel, he told us what really happened at Christmas time. The Christmas story as you have never heard it before. Mr. Morrow corrects many of the misconceptions about Christmas, and you will be shocked and surprised at what we think happened at Christmas. But when you see and hear and read what he has to say about it, and then you check your Bible, you'll have to say, well, he's right. Well, this is just one of about 12 articles in the December issue of the Young Ambassador, the Christmas issue, and it's a must. If you are not reading the Young Ambassador, I'd like to send you a free copy to examine it, especially because of this one particular article. There's so many others, like Christmas in Mexico or A Stranger in a Strange Land, telling of a Vietnamese refugee who found himself in California instead of in his country at Christmas time, and how different and why it had to be Jesus, and many others. But especially this one by Brother Morrow. I do trust that you'll just ask for your free copy of The Young Ambassador if you're not now reading it, and have it come to your home now. The mailing address is simply Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Christmas Day, there all familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead. Put Christ back in Christmas. Let us exalt his dear name, who for lost sinners has suffered, bearing their guilt and their shame. May we behold him, our Savior, gift of God's infinite love, as a babe in a manger, now King of glory above. Let us put Christ back in Christmas. the Savior, Redeemer of men. With shepherds and angels uniting, put Christ back in Christmas again. Put Christ back in Christmas again.
Yes, my friends, we can stand in horror and see what has been done with Christmas. But you and I have a responsibility, and we have the joy of putting Christ back in Christmas. Let's do it. Father, today as we open the book, open our hearts. Thy word is truth. Open our minds to understand and comprehend, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 17 of Exodus, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Now, we established yesterday that man has two natures once he's born again, that God does not fix up the old nature. He completely ignores it, and he instills a new nature. The new nature is no one else but Christ himself with his nature, indwelling us to live his life once again in us. The moment the two natures are there, the moment the new nature has come, a conflict arises. The old nature doesn't like it. The old man doesn't like it. He objects to it. And he starts to battle. He starts a fight. But then, thank God, the Holy Spirit takes up the battle in our behalf. And that's why we read in Galatians 5:17, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. Now, this man Amalek, and then later on the nation, is a type of this old nature, this old man. And, of course, Jesus Christ is a type of the new, or he is the new. He is within us. And so I want you to see today, we want to first of all identify Amalek to show why and how come and how the Lord, why the Lord uses him as a symbol of the old nature. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau was the oldest son of Isaac. Now Esau and Jacob were twins, but Esau was the oldest. And Esau was one who sold his birthright, mind you, for a morsel of bread or morsel of meat. Now, the birthright was more than just the physical birthright, the inheritance of certain portions of property. That was really the incidental part. The birthright was a spiritual birthright. The birthright was handed down to the oldest son in the family to carry on the spiritual responsibility of the family. At this time, there were no priests. He was, in that sense, a priest. There were no such as public ministers as such. He was responsible. That was his responsibility, taking over from his father. This is what Esau sold for a morsel of meat. He is therefore a real representative of the flesh, of the old nature. Listen to God's description of this man in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. He calls him profane. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he wanted the blessing but not the birthright. He was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. It is, he sought the blessing with tears, but he found no place for repentance. Here was a man. This is his description. And this is the way the old nature is. It has absolutely no joy whatsoever in the things of the Spirit. Now Jacob, on the other hand, sought after the things of God, the spiritual things and the birthright. True, he went after it in a carnal way. But when that carnal struggle was over, he became Israel, a prince with God. And therefore, he in turn represents the spiritual, that which is born of God with a new nature. We have other illustrations. Let me just quickly mention a few of them. Abraham. Abraham had two sons. Now, Ishmael was born after the flesh. You'll recall that Abraham just somehow couldn't wait until his son Isaac was born according to the spirit, or according to promise. And so you'll recall how he went about in his own way and brought about this son, born after the flesh. Now, there was no struggle with Ishmael in the family as long as he dwelt alone. But at about the age 13, Isaac was born. And soon after, he came onto the scene and took his place in the family. And he was born according to the promise. He was born according to the Spirit. And when he was weaned, the crisis began. And there was a battle between the two. We read in Galatians 4, verse 29, "And as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." A perfect picture and a perfect type. God uses it here, showing that he that was born after the flesh persecuted him who was born after the Spirit, namely Isaac. And he says, so even so it is now in the spiritual life. These two could not dwell together. One was of the bondwoman after the flesh. The other was after the free woman, or born of the free woman after the Spirit. But God has an answer. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." In other words, God is not going to cater to that which represents the flesh. Let's keep that in mind. Now, let's make the application to ourselves. Let me give you just another illustration quickly. Paul. When Paul, in the chapters of Romans, chapters 5 and 6, where he first learned of, or gave us the information concerning the whole matter of our salvation and what we have in Christ Jesus, and then the great victory possible by our having died with Christ to sin and to the old man, and having been raised with Christ to live the resurrection life, after all of that was shown, then came the conflict. The conflict between the one and the other. Romans 7 shows us that. The personal pronoun I, me, and my, and others are used 59 times in this one chapter alone, where he discusses his inner battle. The Holy Spirit is not as much mentioned as once. Whereas in Romans 8, presents the sphere of victory in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned at least 18 times. Now, if you'll read the Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 in this order, keeping this in mind, you'll see the illustration I've been trying to show you here now. Now then, the two natures are also seen in the two names that were given, for instance, to Jacob. Jacob was his name for the man who was after the flesh. That is, the fleshly man, the earthly man. But Israel was when he was really became the spiritual man. God changed his name. Isaiah 9, verse 8 uses this illustration for us. He said, "The word came unto Jacob." In other words, God says, "I sent the word to un-Jacob, but it lighted upon Israel." Only those who were spiritual were able to comprehend it. Let's see another contrast of very importance. Now, Pharaoh had been an enemy of Israel. Now, Amalek is also an enemy of Israel, but they represent two different powers of influence in the Christian's life. Let's please note that. Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan, used the world to enslave men before they were born again or trying to keep them in the world. But Amalek, man after the flesh, appeals through the flesh to keep Israel from the freedom of victory, to keep them from victory. Pharaoh represents the hindrance to deliverance from Egypt, that is, from redemption, whereas Amalek represents the hindrance to the walk of Israel. We see the difference. Pharaoh had to do with he hindered them from becoming saved, you might say. And so Satan is there constantly working against us to keep us from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But after we are born again, the new nature has taken its place. Christ has taken his place in our heart and in our life. Then the flesh begins to object. And the flesh, the old man, the old nature, begins to just object to that which now has come to pass. And he will do everything he can to hinder us from walking the true life in him. The unregenerated man is entirely under the dominion of the flesh. He serves its lust. He does its will. But as soon as he receives a new nature, the conflict then begins. the spirit against the flesh against the spirit. It was not Israel that attacked Amalek, you will note, but it was Amalek that did the attacking. For then came Amalek and fought with Israel. The new nature delights in God. It loves to commune with Him. It feeds on His Word. It engages in the spiritual activities of God. But the flesh is restless there and will give one no peace. That's where your disturbance comes. Robs us of the joy. That's it. It is the flesh lusting against the spirit, not the new nature against the flesh, but the spirit against the flesh. That is, the Holy Spirit then takes up the battle in our behalf. And this is the glorious thing. The Holy Spirit takes up the battle for us. He's now come to indwell us. So now let's look at this scripture just a little bit further as we read from verse 9 to verse 13. I want you to see Israel's sources of victory. How could they have victory over Amalek? And in this, we are going to study in the next few days and see how we too can have constant victory over the old nature and over the flesh. It's not eradicated, but we can have victory over it. Let's just read the word first. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now here's what we have. We see the source of victory lay in two things. Number one, there had to be a warfare. This is what we mean by spiritual warfare. It begins right here. Spiritual warfare against the old man, the old nature. Secondly, there was intercession, looking to heaven for the victory. The warfare was in the valley of everyday life. Right there where you and I walk, that's where the battle goes on. Now Joshua was the man of the Spirit, and he took up his stand against the enemy, whereas Amalek was a type of the flesh. And so you see these two now against each other. Remembering Joshua's weapons was the sword. And as I turn to the sixth chapter of Ephesians and verse 17, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the battle against the old nature and the old flesh starts right there. The sword of the Spirit against the old nature and the old man. Read the whole sixth chapter of Ephesians, especially verses 12 to 18, where he says, put on the whole armor of God. It's an armor of faith that you might be able to win. And then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So you have then, on the one hand, Amalek, type of the flesh, Joshua going out with the weapons of the sword, of the sword of the Lord, the Spirit, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, going out against Amalek, the Word of God, against the flesh. But really, the battle was being won up there on the hilltop. It was a seesaw battle. Victory depending on the man on the hill, in this case Moses. The respective actions of Moses and Joshua point out the provisions which God has made for us to combat the flesh. The comfort, however, of the battle for you and me is that we have already been pronounced and truly established as victors before we really enter in upon this field. Yes, we may by faith approach the battle singing the great victory song. Take, for instance, such verses as these. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or, as he says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And there are more verses like this, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us and who comes in by the Holy Spirit to take up the battle in our behalf. Now, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to see more of this battle royal and how we may be victors over the old nature and the old flesh.
It was a holy night when Jesus Christ was born. The guiding star shone bright above a town forlorn. For shelter there Joseph found a lowly manger bed. Then through the air a heavenly sound to Bethlehem it led. The Son of God, God's gift to man. What purity and grace! Then came hosannas, then again what scorn and shame to face. It was for us he came that night, so sinless, virgin born, so full of grace, a shining light to save all world forlorn. It was a
If you, my friend, have not been born again, let us help you. We'll be so happy to do so if you'll just write and tell us what your spiritual needs are. Now, before I close, here's a thought. God develops spiritual power in our lives through pressure of hard places. Now, Herman, will you please give us the address?
Friends, write to us at Back to the Bible, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. And be sure to give us your station call letters when you write to us. We invite you to join us daily on this station for Back to the Bible. On tomorrow's program, Theodore Epp will bring another message in his current series of studies. I hope you'll plan to join us. Back to the Bible is sponsored by the Good News Broadcasting Association.